Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Force Center podcast feed, and this particular episode of the Force Center podcast feed is the Clone Wars Report. The drums are extra intense and had a little bit of a reverb sustain there. That was great, and that makes sense because this is a very exciting episode. I'm Joseph Scrimshaw, and the person making music with their mouth is Ken Knapsack.
That I am. I've never made good music in my life until Clone Wars Report.
Yeah, I mean, now you've got enough for a mixtape. You can just you can do a whole mouth concert.
Yeah, I'm gonna put a piece of scotch tape over my cassette tape and get recording.
Exactly. Well, as we always say, we did grow up with the original trilogy and cassettes, even singles. So just to let you know where we're coming from. We love doing the Clone Wars Report. We love discussing this show, each episode, each arc. We're treating this one as an individual episode, but it does really have a direct connection to a couple of previous episodes. And this is one of the screwiest ones when it comes to chronology of actual episodes. We're going to be discussing Season 3, Episode 2, ARC Troopers, written by Cameron Litvak and directed by Kyle Dunleavy. Ken, did you feel centered on where you were when you were watching this episode in terms of the timeline this time around?
I thought I did, because I'll bring up the episode guide and I'll read that maybe a little after the first view. But the newsreel hits, and I went, what was that? Wait, that was an ep- they've got footage of that episode, but sometimes, and then I was like, later on realized, oh yeah, it's Rookies. Oh God. Yeah. But yeah, I started the first couple of minutes going, I don't remember where this is.
Yeah, no, it is. It's a confusing one. I remember being very confused when I watched the episode because, like, weren't those guys just rookies?
Yeah.
And they were. I learned that this episode was actually broadcast as a part of a season premiere with the episode Rookies. And then we're going right into ARC Troopers. Mm. But then in between, there's that other episode.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
That's where we get to track all of the... all of the, or is it Clone Cadets? I might have
Clone
that.
Cadets.
Clone Cadets that I was broadcast with. And then Rookies is yeah. Anyway.
So, yeah, but I mean that, but there you go. It's all over the place.
See,
we have the notes in front of us.
Yeah, I even thought I had it straightened out, but I might have screwed that up. And I apologize if I did. I tried to take all the notes. I will also say that this is the first day after my first dose of the vaccine. So I'm going to blame any mistakes on that and my sore arm.
And I'm still waiting for my appointment, so I have no excuse other than I got confused. Yeah, no, Rookies, direct sequel to Rookies, but Clone Cadets is before this one. So there, and I remember the live watching it as this all happened on Cartoon Network for me. It was confusing.
Yeah. But I think a great episode. Spoiler. Yeah. So let's get into it. Are you ready for the summary, Ken?
I absolutely am.
Here we go. Attack on the clones. Jedi generals Obi-Wan Kenobi and Anakin Skywalker intercept a transmission revealing a terrible plot. Separatist forces plan a daring assault on Kamino itself. The clones are determined to defend their home world, including such clone heroes as Rex, Cody, Echo, Fives, and Clone 99. Anakin launches into space to attack the Separatist armada, but General Kenobi realizes the falling debris from the battle is actually hiding Trident drill assault crafts packed with aqua droids. Our brave heroes then split up. Kenobi distracts Grievous. Anakin races to protect the Separatist's true target, Jango Fett's DNA. Anakin barely holds his own as he duels an extra sassy Asajj Ventress. Clones Echo and Fives are assisted by Clone 99 and a small band of untrained cadets as they fight to survive and hold the line. Clone 99, who has remained on Kamino as a maintenance worker, sees his opportunity to be what he was bred to be, a soldier. During a daring run to resupply the clones, he's shot down by battle droids. Clone forces overwhelm Asajj Ventress, and they help Anakin retrieve Jango's DNA. The Separatists are then driven from the planet. Rex and Cody promote Echo and Fives to ARC Troopers, and Kamino is saved for now. Bum, bum, bum.
That's so much. It's a great episode.
Yeah, it is. You know, when I was watching it, it was like, okay, this is a really great episode. The ideas, the emotions are clear. There's a lot of great action. It just bounces along. And then I went to write this damn summary and like, there's actually a lot going on in this episode.
Yeah. And with one of the more heartstring pulling deaths in the show, which is it's memorable for that. And I got to tell you, too, like when I started watching this one, too, again, the timeline confusion. And then I kind of was it dawned on me what this one was. And I was like, oh, yeah, get out a hanky because this is a sad one, too.
Yeah, no, I remembered right away and I was braced for one of the more memorable and heartbreaking moments of the Clone Wars. So let's get into it. Ken, what is your overall reaction to this episode? Love it, like it, struggle with it, somewhere in between?
Well, my notes are so messed up today. I was going to say, well, I love it when Padme gets to spend time with Ahsoka. That was last week's notes. Ken, delete that sentence. I almost Ron Burgundy myself there again. I really, yes, as I just kind of gave away myself to love that. Cause this is, I'd say this is one of those, not a template Clone Wars episode, but you go into the Clone Wars expecting clones and clones fighting and you get a ton of that and you get some wonderful, just big pew, pew, pew action, which we always acknowledge is part of the reason a lot of us are here. Not just for Clone Wars, but Star Wars. And for whatever reason, whether you start on the playground going pew, 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 where then that name actually, that phrase comes from, this has all of that. But then it goes into, there's a few themes to dive into, and it's more prevalent for me now as a fan, and then a big, sad, emotional death. I mean, it's a full Star Wars experience.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I really, really love this episode. I think it helps to know that it was part of a season 3 premiere because I think it works perfectly great as you and I are watching it. It is, here's a part of the Clone Wars show. We're watching it in chronological order, but it makes so much sense as the second half of a season premiere, because it really does feel like this great action-packed, emotion-packed little sampler of the Clone Wars. Besides Ahsoka, it's kind of got all the core ingredients, right? You get Anakin being cocky and daring. You get Obi-Wan being clever and wise. You get Obi-Wan and Grievous facing off. You get Asajj, like I said, being extra sassy. These are some of the kind of the, for the early seasons, the main active villains, right? And then you really get the, hey, it's the Clone Wars. It's about those clones I saw in the movie, if you haven't watched the first two seasons yet. Like, but no, they're not like the clones you saw in the movie. Maybe hinted at just a little bit by Cody in Revenge of the Sith, but these clones are absolutely characters, and one of the main missions of the Clone Wars show is to bring this absolute sense of humanity to the clones. And it, this episode for me does feel almost a little bit like, hey, if people are just catching up on this, or like me, maybe they saw the movie in the theaters and it didn't quite hit, this episode's like almost, this feels like this theme statement of like, no, this is what it's about. This is all the great stuff we got going on. Come on in.
I love what you're saying here, because when you connect it to just a season premiere, when you watch in the release order, that really works, because I think this is a season where the show took a big leap forward in a lot of different ways. Not that season one and two didn't have some great stuff that we've been talking about so far. In fact, some of the episodes in season three pop up earlier when the chronological order is done. But no, you're right. This is kind of like a, hey, we're stepping it up. We're here. We're not going anywhere. And we got some good things coming, and this was a big, bold episode.
Yeah, just a ton of action, and we'll get into the ideas and the themes, and I think that they're definitely there, but they're just kind of lovely and concise and gut-punchy in a good way. Let's talk about the moral of the episode. The moral is, fighting a war tests a soldier's skills, defending his home tests a soldier's heart. What do you make of that moral?
Hey, well, first of all, let me be the one. This is specific to the clones. Clones are Jango's, but we can. Let's change his to theirs.
Yeah,
everyone can fight. That popped out to me. I'll be the one to say that. But in terms of just this episode, it's cut and dry in one sense, right? You can. It's so personal. They say that all through the episode. But I also see this about things that are like a passion to you, that stuff close to your heart, and you're just going to be more invested and it's more important. And then, and that flows for me, that flows into this episode. Echo says, this is our war. This is about defending what you are and defending what and who you love. I think of Rose Tico in Last Jedi. I think this has an emotional connection to that kind of statement. They really are defending themselves, their very essence.
Yeah, absolutely. I do feel like that is the main idea of this episode. And I think this moral is kind of great because definitely rings out. And I think you're right to point that out. It is literally referring to these clones who are male. So fair enough. But also still, it does ring out a little bit. But beyond that, it sounds so practical, this one, right? You know, because some of these morals are super you can absolutely cross stitch them into a pillow. They're just great little bite-sized bits of wisdom. Sometimes they really relate to the specific sort of a philosophy of Star Wars, and other times they just sound real practical. And this one almost sounds real practical, but I love what it's getting to of the, it is this absolute truth of the clones that fighting the war is a part of who they are and they have this duty. But then this is an episode that is about them not just fighting because it's their duty and their responsibility and their choice, but because the war actually matters to them. We've seen some great storytelling with that about with Rex in the Deserter episode. But this is really taking a all clones approach to some of the things that Rex wrestled his way toward in that episode. And I love that you tie it back to Rose Tico. I think you could tie it back to lots of different Star Wars characters about this idea that you can, it's almost like saying fighting a war tests a soldier's skills is like a technical thing, then defending his home tests a soldier's heart. But I think the way I kind of interpreted it or internalized it, whether it's right or not, is this idea of you can fight for a cause, but really what you're ultimately going to fight for is something that is truly meaningful to you as an individual, you know? Mm. You know, Leia is a great leader, and she believes in the cause of freedom and, you know, and having a better government and getting the Emperor's boot off the neck of the galaxy. But, you know, I think she's fighting for her parents, right? You know, she's fighting for something for Alderaan. She's fighting for this better future that means something not just to the galaxy as a concept, but to her as a person.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Totally. I think Jyn Erso, it finally clicks in when it becomes personal. And sometimes that's the path to it. And sometimes maybe we all should take up all causes all time. But sometimes, yeah, unfortunately, it's maybe how we work. It has to connect. And the clones are there for the fight. The clones are there for the war. But like I said, this one strikes at the very heart of what they are.
Yeah. So let's dive into that. I think we're going to be talking about the same things, picking out some same beats. So I'll just throw it out so we can do a little compare contrast. I think for me, the way I thought of the theme is what it means to be a clone. Mm-hmm. For you, what was the sort of umbrella way that you thought of what this is about?
Clones are defending their very existence. I said their essence earlier, because the Separatists want to take the DNA that makes the clones. They want to literally wipe them out, stop the production of new clones. I think it is 99. That is the one that's like, you know, we're done. I forget the I didn't write the exact quote, but it's like, if the Separatists win here, we no longer are alive. Literally, it's not just the Republic and all, you know, it's part of the bigger picture. But and that's really what it's about. And it flows into what you just said of just like defining who they are and a soldier. We hear that a lot. And you even got the cadets, the youngsters up there, too. They're all there.
Yeah, no, I love what you're saying to almost, this is a powerful and horrific word, so I don't use it lightly, but it is almost like a genocide, right? Of they're not just seeing themselves as, we're soldiers, we're part of the Republic of like, but we're all brothers. This is who we are. This is this group of us who exist. And if this DNA gets taken, our line will end.
Yeah, this question that you're kind of proposing here is like, what are we? Well, we are soldiers. We are bred, literally brought into this world. And what does that mean to us? And you look around, and we are all brothers here. That great speech of we have the same heart, the same blood. So that we're defining that here. This is a battle to define ourselves.
Yeah. I love. I wrote that specific quote down. Look around. We're one in the same. Same heart, same blood. Your training is in your blood, and my blood's boiling for a fight.
Yeah.
It's a really great, quote, and a really interesting one since training and is such a big idea. I love this idea that your training is in your blood because it really cuts to the core of, look, you know, we were made from the DNA of a fighter. They don't say it, but I certainly, you know, feel that. And like, we are fighters. That's who we are. That's our lineage. And you might learn the more technical aspects of it. You might learn those skills that the moral is talking about, but the heart of it is who you are, of being born fighters. And I took it as not just literally we're good at punching and shooting, but like the larger idea of a fighter, of somebody who is not going to give up.
Exactly.
I love how strongly the episode starts by Rex and Cody. Rex and Cody are always, you know, they believe in duty. They believe in the Republic. They believe in fighting for the soldiers and the Jedi next to them, right? And they're always brave and strong. So it's really effective when they're like, no, F this. That's our home. We're the great quote there. If someone comes to our home, they better be carrying a big blaster, says Rex.
Yeah, it's a lot of hoorah. It's a lot of, it was competitive vibe at times. You know, I could probably start making some sports references soon of they're coming into our stadium. No. But it's, there's so much, I guess, pun intended, heart behind everyone. I took that moment too of there's a little bit of like Cody kind of like, I'm in this too. You know, like we're all in this.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's just a great thing to share. I think we kind of think of it that way because we've seen these episodes of Kamino as their home, but this is such great world building. It's like, it's not like, Kamino is where we were made. But to use that word home, the concept of home is powerful. And it feels in the way this episode is, the story is told, that it isn't just like literally a place, like that's where we're from or that's where the DNA is stored. But the way they say that's our home. And then, you know, you get that great scene where they Echo and Fives past the cadets, and they kind of laugh together about, like, remember going to target practice. Yeah. And it really pulls that layer back and says, you know, they aren't just brutal machines of war. This is where they grew up. They grew up faster than us. Mm-hmm. But it really has almost that same, like, what, the corporation's going to tear down the orphanage? No, that's where we grew up, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, totally. I think that's the plot of Happy Gilmore. No, it's a nursing home, but same thing. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, absolutely. And I love that little moment. I love kind of the walking through the senior hall of high school kind of vibe there. You know, it used to be my locker.
Yeah, yeah. And like, look, I remember back then, a couple of years ago when we were that young.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another big thing I liked in this sort of this pursuit of this episode to show us, you know, what it truly means to be a clone is this maybe you need to kind of pull the context from other storytelling in Clone Wars, but this seemed to be me to making a statement that the clones are unique. They are individuals, but they also embrace the fact that they are clones and therefore totally the same. Both of those things are part of their identity, that they are unique and that they are the same, because we've seen these great episodes about, you know, the clones pursuing their identity, having their own names and, you know, the art on their armor, and the Great Deserter episode where Rex is kind of challenged about that. That's going to be coming up with the vicious Pong Krell arc in previous seasons. So there's a lot of storytelling in the Clone Wars that celebrates that they are unique. Even Yoda says you are unique within the Force. Mm. So I really liked adding to this, like, this perspective of this really unique group of beings that, yeah, we're all individuals. We have different experiences and we have an instinct to express ourselves with our own haircuts, our own names, our own tattoos, our own armor, our own, you know, fighting styles, all these things. But then within that, there's also this real truth of, we're clones. We are the same. And that is a part of our identity, is both of our individuality. And then, you know, that great speech of, we're one and the same, same heart, same blood, is a celebration of, you know, their similarity being a part of their strength and a part of who they are.
I think in a very real world sense for me, this idea we've talked about a lot here of, as Star Wars fans, we all have our own paths to this love of this franchise. So we kind of refer to it as that shared unique journey. We all loved Wedge from different parts of the world. So we shared in that, but we loved it as individuals. We love it with our own perspective and experiences. And I think that's on display here as the clones, because I love that this series, as you go along, the tattoos, the hairstyles, the painting, you know, on the armor, it really drives at home what you're talking about.
Yeah, totally individuals. But yeah, it's a good Star Wars theme. I think Star Wars has a ton to say about democracy, and, you know, it takes a group of people to accomplish something. But Star Wars also really celebrates the unique journey of individuals and the importance of individual choice. So this to me is just a great echoing of that theme of, we are all a part of, you know, the galaxy. We're all connected through the Force, and that matters. But also your choices as an individual and your identity as an individual matters too. And this was just kind of a great way to echo it that I don't think I fully appreciated that on other viewings of this. So I really enjoyed it.
I mean, there's so many things I appreciate now more. And I say that humbly, as I'm so happy just to dive in and learn more and teach myself a little bit more about these Star Wars stories. When you're really just pulling out that magnifying glass. Sometimes all the letters just dump into my brain at once.
I understand. A magnifying glass sounds like a weapon that Grievous would use during the Clone Wars.
It really does.
My magnifying glass, Kenobi.
You just start to pick up on all these things. And I have two sub themes, really. I didn't even have a shot today, so I don't know what my excuse is. two sub themes that I was going to bring up, but I really think they're tying into what stuff you just said. So if I may, Joseph, I want to present these. You have two sides of this coin, but flows really nicely into what you're talking about, this unique but shared identity or journey or these lessons. You got 99 on one side reflects its desire to kind of prove yourself within the confines of a group. You know, there's that exchange like, 99, get out of here. This is no place for you. And he's like, I'm a soldier like you. And he proves that for the greater good. He proves that for the greater cause. He makes the ultimate sacrifice for the greater cause. On the other side, you got Grievous and Asajj Ventress just represent the desire to prove yourself even above those around you that you're supposed to be working together. So there's fun banter because they finally meet officially, but it's elbowing, jockeying for position. They're supposed to work together, but really it's about glory for the individual. And you have these two sides of Star Wars. Hey, I even think it's the Star Wars fandom. Do you want to be on this side, bickering, elbowing, gatekeeping? Or do you want to have your own unique journey, work towards the same goal, loving Star Wars? There's some options for you. And this episode's talking to all of you. So there's my thoughts on Revan. I see that, and it flows so nicely, I think, into what you're talking about.
No, I mean, this is one of those episodes where it feels like we looked at each other's notes. Definitely. I really thought that was there, and that was on purpose, right? That the clones are sharing this connection, celebrating their individuality, but also celebrating their ability to work together, and that they're all in this for this common goal. And then it really sparks when Grievous and Asajj, in the middle of this dangerous mission, are taking time to go like, "You're not that impressive." You're like, "Oh, what's your title? Oh, what's, you know, the Force is more powerful." And then I thought that in a way highlighted some of the classic Anakin and Obi-Wan stuff, that Anakin and Obi-Wan are constantly have this tension of, there are moments where they are in this like great synergy, and there are moments where they can't connect, you know, and a lot of times it is fun banter. But then this episode, like it actually did play out, right? We saw Anakin and Obi-Wan's usual banter in usual perspectives, where Obi-Wan's like, wait, let's study, let's think. And Anakin's like, come on, there's a big armada in space. I think you're overthinking it, dude, you know. And seeing those good sides of Anakin, of, you know, how happy he is to be there up in space, and he's going to protect his clones. He's got that great friendly exchange with Broadside, but he's charging forward and enjoying a fight. And Obi-Wan's going, hey, wait, literally what you think is your victory, you're blowing stuff up and debris is falling. And that is actually a problem. And I like that this is an episode where they have their different perspectives. They kind of have some conflict about it. But this is one of those rare moments where Anakin actually listens to Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
Because once Obi-Wan has been proven right in their fighting back to back, and Obi-Wan gives him an order and says, go protect the DNA chamber, I'll deal with Grievous. And Anakin just says, great. And does it. You know, it's almost like, Grievous and Asajj are this example of a total lack of working together. The clones are sort of perfection of working together, and then Anakin and Obi-Wan are somewhere in between.
Well, but it reflects, we could almost talk about this in connecting to other Star Wars stories, but it connects a lot to the final beats of Attack of the Clones, right? Fighting Dooku, Anakin's like, I got him, ouch. Runs into that problem, and he should, and that's not too far from this episode, right? What do you think about in terms of the timeline? So he should be. So I really love that exchange. There's a great Obi-Wan line we'll talk about later, but it just kind of like really drives home the fact that they're not on the same page. And so Anakin naturally kind of, it's almost like, you know, not that I don't think this episode's directly speaking to Anakin or about Anakin, but it's like you want Anakin to look at the two options. You know, like, you know what I mean? Like, look, here you go. You could be like Grievous and Asajj, bicker and fight and try to get the glory and try to save the day and lose, or we can work together like the clones. Your choice, Anakin. What do you want?
Yeah. And I love that Asajj kind of, you know, if not takes it to Anakin, certainly holds her own, and it feels like really manages to manipulate Anakin and move the fight where she wants the fight to be. And it is the clones. I love that it's the clones who have the triumph, that random clone who grabs the DNA sample from Asajj. Mm-hmm. You know, makes it their triumph. I also like, just for this kind of bigger theme of like who the clones are and what it means to be a clone, that Kamino's their home, that fighting is in their nature. Being a fighter in the best way is in their nature, regardless of their level of training or their level of ability. It's more in their spirit and their heart. There's all that great stuff. But then there's also just like a little bit of a sense of humor about it at the end, in a great way, of where Echo and Five, you know, have this great accomplishment of being promoted. And they kind of play it down and are humble about it and say, we did what we had to do, sir, what any clone would have done. And then Rex's line of both of you showed valor out there, real courage. Remind me of me, actually. There's a really funny line, but also like Rex is like a recognized, you know, leader, an accomplished clone. To me, that's like this very funny joke that actually does encapsulate this idea of like, of course they remind you of you, Rex. You're clones. which highlights, you know, the idea of them all being connected. But then Rex has, you know, really made himself stand out in his abilities and his commitment. And so it is a real compliment of in as far as I'm individual and I have accomplished something, I think you two have accomplished that as well is a great compliment.
I mean, applauding you. That's a great breakdown of that line, because I did write that down, too, of just like it's almost some Force Center hubris, but not quite, because he says it just so earnestly. It's so earnest, right? It's honest. He knows he's good. He knows it, and he's not holding it over there. I mean, he's like, this is great. But I think it ties into exactly what you're saying. I think it really is a deep line. Is this clone pun humor? It might be, but it also is exactly what you're saying. You stood out, even though we are all one and will remain as one. I think it's a great ending and a great line. Good stuff.
Yeah. And I think, you know, these episodes, you know, and watching Echo and Five's journey this is an important beat, I think, in fans really bonding with them and making a connection to them.
Totally. Absolutely.
So you already hinted at some of the larger connections to the Star Wars story, morality, perspective. What else do you have there? What else did you pick up on that you think this episode is resonating with?
Yeah, I think I might have played all my cards because it's all kind of connected. No, the clones working together, but I also tied that to the big Star Wars perspective and the larger story of looking at everyone as a potential help, as a potential you know, I don't want to say cog in your machine, but it is kind of this rebellion needs all these pieces and no ally left behind. And an example we go to a lot here is Leia looking at Wicket and saying that he can help. You know, the rebellion having this sort of multinational army, if you will, across the galaxy and needing that. And that's how it succeeds. And I think the clones and all kind of things we're talking about here can flow nicely into those conversations about the bigger picture of the Star Wars story.
No, I totally agree with that. I always think of that theme as a reminder from Star Wars that everyone has value. Wicket's a great example. You know, I think that is the point of Jar Jar, and that is the point of, you know, Padme reaching out to the Gungans in Phantom Menace. You know, I even think it's stuff, to me, embedded in the first film. Of that first film is Luke Skywalker, the chosen one. He's the only one who can make that shot, but he can't make that shot unless Han Solo, this nobody, kid from Corellia, makes this choice, you know. Not to say nothing of everyone else who sacrificed to set Luke up in that shot. But I feel like that's just so everywhere in Star Wars that everyone has value. And I liked how explicit this was about the clones, that, you know, not only was it them protecting their home Kamino sort of conceptually, it gets down to the point where, like, they're literally in their home, their, you know, their bunks where they grew up. And, you know, and it celebrates the value, the skills that the cadets have, their knowledge of the space. Same thing with Clone 99. He knows his way around. He knows what's going on in that space. So his actual knowledge, even though he might not have been trained to be the greatest fighter, he still has very specific value in this situation if you're willing to look at it. And I even feel like you know, there's something a little bit of a great hubris in the way Anakin is fighting Asajj. It almost feels a little bit like Anakin's just like, I'm going to prove I can take her down. She's not getting away from that DNA. And he's kind of working together with the clones, but I really like that it is. You feel like if it was just Anakin Asajj, she might have got away with that DNA sample. And there's just a real power in this, that clone grabbing that DNA sample and going, no, this is Anakin is with us, you know, and he's powerful. But this is about us, and this is ours to protect.
Yeah, absolutely. It's all for one kind of thing. And I'd say, I love that you brought in the Luke thing, too, because you can always, there's always even some fun, silly Star Wars conversations to have about the farm boy that could. But imagine he shows up at Yavin, and Garvin Dave Drace says to him, Luke, get out of here. This is no place for you. The Rebellion couldn't do that. They needed all help, and they needed to see everyone as a potential ally and a potential you know, someone to help the cause. So there you go, all those big themes.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's a hell of a thing for Biggs to just be like, no, trust me, he's real good.
Yeah.
He's real good. Basically, you know, the sort of space equivalent of like, no, he's really good to, you know, just whipping his car around in a parking lot. You should see what he can do. I also thought, for me, the kind of bigger storyline, you know, I don't think the episode itself does any work to directly point to it, but this is the DNA of Jango and therefore the totally unaltered DNA of Boba Fett that they're fighting over. And that's fun to think about when that literal, DNA device container is flying back and forth between Asajj and Anakin, that's literally the essence of not just the clones, but Jango Fett and Boba Fett. And you have to believe that everything that the clones are saying about themselves, they must think is true on some level of Jango and Boba.
I mean, I'm looking forward to Book of Boba Fett, Chapter 2, where Boba Fett laments when Asajj and Anakin played hot potato with his DNA. Yeah.
Play hot potato with my DNA. Yeah, well, I hope Cody shows up so they can have a long chat about what it means to be a clone.
Yes.
See if Boba's attitude can be improved about being a clone.
Mm.
Final thing for me on the sort of big picture is always like to look at the state of the war. This is not something that I think is explicit in the episode, but it is a fun thing to ponder. So I actually even wanted to ask you, why do you think at this point in the war, Sidious was like, you know what? Let's go for it. Let's throw all these forces. Let's throw two of our biggest agents, Grievous and Asajj, at just trying to cut the Republic off at the knees. Like if this had succeeded, there's that line from Grievous about, well, maybe we could get something out of it. We can talk about that, too, that the DNA isn't just to be destroyed. It's to be taken. So who knows what they wanted with it. But the war would have wrapped up, I think, much quicker. Right. Do you think this is Sidious just being like, this was fun, but let's wrap this up. get rid of these clones and the Jedi are going to fall like dominoes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he's maybe got enough to execute Order 66. This is a great strategic what if. I immediately go to look if they pull this off. Number one, you're right. They could have evil clones or separatist clones, whatever you want to say, and that could work. But also, that would force, I think, even draw the Jedi in more. Right now, you're not just generals. You're like captains and majors. We need Jedi armies now. We're losing. We lost our resources of soldiers. And that could pull them in more, kind of confuse the whole situation.
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe force the Republic to actually ask its own citizens to fight.
Yeah.
Or certainly a lot of Jedi would fall. Yeah, it does. I like how much that the Clone Wars, kind of out of necessity, shows us like these great puppet master plans that Palpatine have that work great. And then he's like, hey, how about this? Ah, no. Whoops.
Yeah.
Padme foiled that one. Whoops. Ah. Kenobi foiled that one. And so he's got some. They're like, oh, that didn't work. But you know what? I got a lot more up my sleeve.
Yeah, no, he's this great planner. But I think it ties a little bit. And I'm not saying this episode specifically ties into this big thing. But there's, even with what Alexander Freed just put in Alphabet Squadron of the messenger droids and everything, of just Palpatine knows the base level of evil and how you slowly slip there. And he's dealing in that. And everything else is just frosting on the cake. He's going to get you all to just compromise slowly one way or another. He's going to get you.
Yeah. And every once in a while, he's got a plan like this. I'm like, oh, wow. Wouldn't this make the war extra, extra horrible a lot faster? Yeah. So I love that there is a little bit of like, he is the Sith who has mastered patience. But even in a plot like this, you have to imagine Sheev looking at his watch going, can we move this up a year or two?
Yeah. Yeah. Totally.
Yeah. Excellent. Great discussion on the big picture themes and ideas in Sidious's watch that I believe he wears, his secret Sith watch.
Well, what I love is he knows he gets a discount on all those new uniforms if he orders now. And he's just like, come on, I got new Imperial grays coming. Let's go.
We got photo shoots planned and everything. We need the new armor now for cheap. All right, we're going to take a quick break and then we'll be back to discuss all of our favorite little moments, from the action to the comedy to the canon connections, all that great stuff, in just a moment.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together.
J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, 4Center friends, make sure you're keeping up to date on all the great content from Jennifer Landa. Whether it's YouTube, Instagram, or TikTok, you whippersnappers, 4Center's own Jennifer Landa continues to bring you fun, informative, and insightful laughs and moments.
Also, Jennifer brings her experience and perspective as a Star Wars-loving mother to her DIY projects, blogs, and more. So be sure to head on over to JennyLanda.com, that's JennyLanda.com, for articles like how to make your own Darth Maul sneakers or 10 unique Star Wars baby gift ideas.
Follow Jen on Twitter and Instagram at Jennifer Landa and on TikTok as JenniferLanda1138.
We are back to finish our discussion of the Great Clone Wars episode, ARC Troopers. We're going to talk action. This was a big action-packed episode, Ken. Lots of different kinds of action. So did you have some favorite action moments?
Well, yes, sir, I did. I'm going to start with one that was full of action, but it was really super stressful because it kind of ties into a little phobia I have. Kenobi's underwater escape. underwater, oceans, all that kind of freaks me out a little bit. We got a little bit of a, you know, organic and mechanical kind of theme going on here where he gets saved and connects with the Awas, air whales.
Yeah, I always said Awa, but.
Awa? Yeah, works for me. Awa. I love that whole sequence, everything about it, except stressful. It was a good action. It was me going, oh, man, take a breath.
You don't like the being sucked into space or being underwater. Not like other people are big fans of them, but like you viscerally feel them.
Yeah. Who's out there? Like, I've always wanted to go into the vacuum of space. Yeah. And this one is even more real world, because I have a better potential to have this one happen, I suppose. So yes, it is stressful. When he's holding his breath and I'm like, God, don't you have like a, what happened to the Phantom Menace breathalyzer?
Oh yeah, the aqua breather, but he should have a breathalyzer.
Yeah. Well, but breathalyzer, it's a patent pending. It's a specific thing.
But I love the idea that a function of that would be to check Jedi's intoxication level.
What are you talking about? Kenobi has one of those. He has an ankle bracelet strapped to it.
Yeah, no, it's pretty good and graphic, right? With mm-hmm. The look on poor Kenobi's face. But yeah, I love that. You know, you see those Iwas in the, or however you choose to say that in the great shot in Attack of the Clones, right?
Yeah.
It's bursting out of the water with a Kaminoan riding on it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I loved that. That was my favorite, my first favorite action moment as well, is Obi-Wan realizing the opportunity and grabbing on for a ride.
Yeah. Yeah. And all through some great heavy trooper action.
Oh, yes. Yeah, absolutely. A lot of good heavy blasting.
yeah.
Literally. Yeah. Yeah. So some other for me, the drill, the trident drill. I love that thing. That's so scary. It's such a great combination of the mechanical and the organic, and almost that sort of disturbing the violent and the mechanical imitating something that is organic with its kind of like squid-like tentacular vibe. And then the drill with the aqua droid rack. I mean, come on. Just there's something so terrifying about the rack of like, here, we're just going to vomit out all these droids. And then you add on to the fact that they're called aqua droids. If you ever think that Star Wars isn't pulpy, aqua droids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very G.I. Joe, too, just where every Cobra Viper had a, you know, the mess hall Viper, the tank Viper, the janitor Viper. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure they have cloudy and sunny droids. You know? Yeah. Other moments for you?
Just overall, the clones trying to defend the station, specifically some of the beats with the Trident ships, like you said, and the droids coming out. I wanted to fire up the PlayStation and pop in Battlefront 2.
Yeah, no, I was going to mention that in our canon lore connection, but just do it now. You kind of get to play some of these beats. I can't remember. It's been so long I've played what the different missions are called and the different styles of missions. But you get to defend the actual chamber and, you know, defend the DNA sample. You get to, you know, really go everywhere on Kamino. And I think even in, I believe, just the basic battleground level of Kamino, the Trident droids with their drills are in their tentacles are all stuck in everything.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, no, this is, I kind of had the reaction to this episode, like, even though, you know, we both lived in Los Angeles for a bit, you still have that thing where you drive by a house and you're like, oh, that's for that movie. And I had that watching this episode. I was like, I fought there.
I did too. I almost literally did fire up. I'm glad I managed to convince myself not to and finish getting work done, but I almost lost a lot of time to Battlefront 2. Couple more for me. Shaak-Ti is also in this episode. The ongoing story that Shaak-Ti is stationed on Kamino and is a Jedi overseeing training. But she's got a cool little fight with the droids. And in particular, she's got this move that you don't see very often. A lot of times you see force pushes, you see some force pulls. She has at one moment what I would describe as a force slap.
Yes.
Where she pulls the one droid into the air, like, fair enough, they do that a lot. And then, but then she makes this side gesture that really is like this, like she is swiping on a dating profile and just throws that droid into the other droids. And I was like, yeah, that's a good force move, the force slap.
Yeah, I love that. That's the X and R2 button twice.
A couple others for me. In the clone action, my favorite might have been the cadets popping out of their own bunks to blast the droids.
Yes.
A great moment of action, but also a great like visual, like, this is our home. We know it. Everybody has value. This is something that the cadets could do, but you know, other combatants maybe wouldn't think to do.
In Solo, they have a little bit of the, you know, the villagers defending their home type of vibe, where it's a tricky, you know, kind of thing. And the joke is always a little bit of the Three Amigos ending, which one of my favorite comedy movies, for what it's worth. And a little bit of that, too, where it's just this like surprise. Yeah, you didn't expect the beds to have guns in them. We're defending our homes, literally. I love that. I love that.
Yeah.
Vibe.
down to we are defending literally our bunks, our sleeping beds. And there's something a little bit fun about it of like how serious they look.
Yeah, yeah.
it's like you just messed up their sleepover and like, uh-uh, mm-hmm. not with clone cadets. And then for me, a couple of Saj moments. I liked her whole lightsaber battle with Anakin. Mm-hmm. It was really fun. But I liked at the end when she was kind of getting the better of him because she did that just volley of kicks.
Yes.
He
yes.
wasn't sure what to do with. And Saj is a great kicker.
Yeah, she'd be a great MMA fighter. She's got many disciplines.
Yeah, and speaking of what would be not an MMA fighter move, but certainly her move if there was a Star Wars version of Mortal Kombat, she has the old impale and kiss, where she uses the Force to first incapacitate Commander Colt and then pulls him towards her extended blade, impales him, and then does this strange little kiss, which is just really, really leaning into Saj as film noir femme fatale. How did you feel about that?
So here, I'm glad you brought it up. Yeah, because I think you probably saw the same research too. I hadn't fully realized that this had been edited by Cartoon Network. They cut this part out and then they kind of brought it some back spot back in, and then eventually pops back in, and Disney Plus has it here, so we get to see the full director's cut of the slapping, the stab and kiss. So I'll say this: I really love the moment, but this maybe had some deep thoughts on Ventress. I think part of the Ventress character is she is all evil and a little sexy and a little cool, and I'm never going to take that away from Ventress, man. That's part of who, as if the character was a real person. That's who she has a right to be, all those things, especially the evil. But it also made me thankful that a little bit later on, Katie Lucas comes in and she goes, can I take this character? And we talked a little bit about this in previous episodes. Can I take this character and make it this bigger thing where we analyze where this comes from, analyzes her pain. And so I love living in a world where we got this moment, stab and kiss is cool, but we also got her falling into the arms of Mother Talzin, which is even more powerful. And I'm just so glad that we got to do that with the character, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. The fact that we eventually get that level of depth makes me able to enjoy this moment and kind of put it in context, because it's a cool action moment. And, you know, Star Wars doing the stereotype of the noir femme fatale, this is a great moment of exactly that. Yep. But putting it in context with knowing her pain and knowing her attempt to kind of get herself out from anybody else's shadow and decide who she wants to be for herself, great Star Wars themes, then I really appreciate this moment of, you know, she is dancing with the dark side. She is consumed by it, at least partially right now. And we see that expressed lots of different ways. For like Maul, it's just fury, right? It's just anger. And for Vader, it's that sense of like cool, calm control and power and intimidation. And I just like then thinking of it like this is Asajj's way of being.
Yeah.
When she's consumed by the dark side, and her way of intimidating other people around her is by saying, look how much I don't give a damn about people. You know, look how much I will use my violence and my sassy attitude to let everybody know I don't give a damn about anything or anyone, you know?
Yeah. 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 So deep thoughts on this moment in all sorts of ways. And, you know, again, like I said, part of Ventress is that she's cool. She's cool. She's a bad guy, a bad gal. We like rooting for sometimes, which is Star Wars sometimes presents those tough things, but that carries on greater weight. So I don't know. This is like X square and L1. You can do.
This is a tricky combo for sure. Yeah. But also just, I didn't know, had no idea about it being cut until I read that on the research as well and the Wikipedia page. And it is just one of the fun things to observe about the Clone Wars is, it is for kids, and then there's some stuff like this, a good stab and kiss.
But like with any kind of censorship, I understand it, and you're on Cartoon Network. So I'm like, of all the things we've seen so far, was it just the kiss that they did? Like what was it? Is it because it was slow? It's gruesome. It's gruesome. So I understand it. I'm not attacking any censors here, but I just like what was the part of it that made you go, this is the one?
I think it's probably just two things for me. I think just it's really effective, right? Like you're like, damn.
Yeah. Yeah.
But also I just think, you know, in the constant discussion of what is and isn't appropriate, which is much too complex for me to want to tackle right here, right now. But I will say, like, you know, I think America has the, in particular, has this dance of what needs to be censored more. Is it violence or sexuality? Oh, you put them both together? Great. We'll censor that.
Yeah. Thanks for making it easy. Yeah.
Now, I'm not making any opinion statements on that much larger issue for the moment, just acknowledging that it's there. Yeah. All right, let's move on to moments of comedy, whimsy, weirdness, and whatnot. What did you have there?
Well, I guess the big one, I kind of teased upon it. I teased it earlier. I'm make sure I read the right one here. It's when Anakin and Kenobi are bantering back and forth. And your Anakin is just, he's almost dumb. He's almost like... I'll say it, stereotypically like dumb jock, where he's just like, look, man, we blew up those ships and I think there's something going on. No, man, look at that. Woo! And then flash forward later, like Obi-Wan's underwater and he says, Anakin, I was right. Which is, he could have said, hey, look, this is going on. Or, oh, hey, as maybe I said, he's like, Anakin, I was right. I just love that little moment.
Yeah, no, that was, you're right. I had not pulled that out as a great Kenobi line of Anakin, I was right. But I mean, he's going to be repeating that to himself a lot. I kind of love this follow up because we've seen episodes where Anakin has crossed the line so far chronologically. And there's been a little bit of like, ooh, oh no. But then there's been moments where Anakin being really compassionate, really caring about others, being really assertive and saying, no, we can't sit on, just sit and think. We have to move. We have to act, have paid off.
Yeah.
So then it's really fun to see an episode where like, he's behaving that way and it's not paying off for him. Yeah. The line I liked for that is to Obi-Wan, I thought it was a legitimately funny line of only you could be worried about the ships I already shot down.
Yeah.
Like Kenobi's just like, wait, let's, you know, I'm such a Kenobi fan, but I can also see the like, I definitely have that part of myself where like, let's go. And, you know, sometimes when people are like, wait, let's reconsider. Yeah. Like, no, we decided to go. Let's go.
Yeah.
Great Kenobi line, because I just thought it was so Kenobi of his character, is when he is suspecting that something's going on and somebody's asking him, like, well, what do you want to do? And he says, I'd like to go for a swim.
I wrote that down, too. Oh, man. You know what I loved about it? And Anakin has some banter. Look, it's entertainment. I want some banter.
Yeah.
But it's just like, if I'm in the middle of a war and I'm a space wizard and leading the being a part of the leadership of this war, I'm not going to be like, I'd like to go for a swim. I'd be like, we need to get down. We need to go underwater.
Do you have a submersible? Yeah, no, it's not practical, right? But it's just the way he likes to talk. It's the same way as like, you know, what are we going to do with this trap? Spring it. What are you going to do? Go to the bar for a drink.
Yes.
Yeah, the Kenobi says, I'd like to go for a swim, is the same Kenobi to me who says to Han Solo about the Falcon, should I have heard of it?
You know. Oh, but you're right. And episode 4 is such the template. We always talk about Alec Guinness, just the way he plays it and the pauses or the beats or the smile, everything. You build back to that and they do it so well. Any version of Kenobi, it's worth its weight in robes. Go through those little things. And I think you're right to point that out.
Yeah, this is such a good one. Another one for me, maybe you have this one, is in that whole very competitive, you know, competitive between Asajj and Grievous. The keep playing with your droids, and she does the little finger dance of droids. That's some quality snark from Asajj.
You and I we really did share notes today. That I just loved it. It almost is meta real world of, you know, play with your toys. I'm not going to say it's super, a double entendre there, but like I with the Solo, you know, Rally Keeley, I'll flip your switch in L3. Good luck finding it. And that got a big laugh in the theater from a large proportion of the audience. Ventures. There's just something about that line that just, it can go a lot of places for me. So I definitely love that one.
Yeah, and that the line is well written, well delivered, but this is one of those moments where, you know, the synergy of everybody working on it clearly came together because the animators or the storyboard artists or whoever made the choice to give her the little finger dance is so extra mocking. You know, it's kind of in some ways it's a debate we've heard before of like, well, you know, all your technological terror is nothing compared to me. I have the Force is, you know, basically what they're arguing about. But this is such a great, fresh way to say it. And that finger dance is a chef's kiss moment for me.
Yeah. No.
What else do you have for moments of comedy, whimsy, and weirdness?
I got to be honest, that's the end of my list. This there's probably a bunch of little moments, but those are some of the big ones that I wanted to hit and talk about. It's just there's some quality banter, and that's just kind of what we're touching on here.
Yeah, absolutely. Last one for me is just a very small moment of we cut back to the clones in the bunk area after they have taken out all the droids, and one of the cadets does a quick little kick to a droid to make sure it's dead. It was just like that, you know, they talked about how they didn't have training. It was like that cadet looked serious of like if that droid had twitched, it was getting a lot of blaster fire.
Totally. Love it.
Great little moment. All right, let's move on then to favorite Star Wars canon and lore connections to other stories. What do you have here?
I just in general think that it's as a sequel to Rookies. It's connected to its own lore and canon in it so well, and it's to see that journey, especially when spaced out a little appropriately. I enjoyed that kind of connection.
Yeah, absolutely. We talked about the Battlefront 2 of this. That's very, very cool that Battlefront 2 is pulling really directly from this episode. I had forgot, because I knew it just as a bit of fun trivia, that the name of the city was Topoka City.
Yeah.
But it's fun to hear it in this episode. I forgot they literally said it in this episode.
Yeah.
So that was really, really cool. We talked about the Iowa or Awa. Great to see them make a return appearance and a quality one at that. Mm-hmm. I was entertained that Kenobi falls on Kamino again.
Yes.
And I had to be thinking, yes. Is Kenobi thinking, am I around in the same place? Where is there the same door I could hook into? Like, nope, it has that great, we've got to stop meeting like this when the Iowa saves him again.
Yeah. Yeah. I had that. Yeah. Yeah. It just, because I love Kamino. I think we both kind of love Kamino as this weird kind of location and the raid and everything. It's just Kenobi's got to be like, so slippery.
I hate fighting here, but yeah, he doesn't have time to complain too much.
Yeah.
What else do you have?
You touched upon earlier, and I thought it was Anakin wanting to like kind of fly and fight and be out there. And it's something that carries with him. I think of New Hope, of just like, you know, he's the big bad villain, so it makes sense. But the fact that he's just like nuts to this, give me two TIE fighter pilots, we're going out there. Give me my TIE pants, and that's consistent. Again, he's always going to want to be there. He's always in the action. I'd say he leads from the front, but I don't necessarily think he's a good leader in that regard. Maybe a little bit more so in the Clone Wars, but as Darth Vader, I think he's just like, God, do I have to do everything? So I think that kind of connects in a way.
Yeah, we'll destroy them ship to ship. Has taken on like great. Even greater meaning now that's been built up in canon, Rogue One included, that Vader's like, the Death Star.
Yeah.
You know, its ability, its power to cause problems has been confirmed.
Yeah.
And then you got to be thinking in A New Hope, he's like, big, stupid death ball. I'll protect it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great, great pull. Great connection. Speaking of Anakin and connections, this is another episode where, in theory, Anakin and Grievous could have seen one another, but they don't. They have a misconnection once again.
Mm-hmm.
In support of Revenge of the Sith being the first time they appear to have truly laid eyes on one another.
Yeah. And that moment you described earlier of Obi-Wan giving some good strategy and Anakin following, I wish Anakin would have been like, right, I can't be here. Yeah, gotta go.
Right, for canonical reasons, I must protect the DNA.
Love that. There was one moment where Grievous says all too easy, which is such a famous Vader line, but I'd love, you know, and we talk about Grievous kind of being this template for Anakin, if he could only see it, you know, what you could become if you sacrifice, give up yourself in this pursuit of more power. So to hear Grievous say all too easy.
Yeah, that one was really fun. It draws that connection between them if you want to make it. But then it almost made me feel like, and this is just utterly out there headcanon, like, does Sidious say that a lot? And then Dooku picked up the habit, and then so Grievous did, and then Vader did.
Yep.
He's totally. Sidious is getting his breakfast served to him. He's like, all too easy. Like, does he just say it all the time? Is that where this came from?
Yeah.
Anything else for you?
Anakin versus Asajj having a fight, and we've been reviewing the Clone Wars micro series from 0304 range. They have a feud. It's just in Star Wars lore. Just so I love seeing them kind of go at it. There's a great kind of close up shot on Anakin's face where he's just like, "Yeah, I'm gonna end this feud," which ties into the final thing though. It's more of a connection, a spiritual connection to the fall of Anakin and the whole big story. But and it was bringing it up and see what you thought here. Was Anakin going to actually let the clones execute Ventress? Like, he says it. I kind of believe he would have. And I think, in the spirit of the moment, I think they would have pulled the triggers. But it is one of those, like, oh, man, were you going to do that?
Oh, yeah. No, I that didn't seem like there was any wink or a nod there to me. It seemed like they're going to fire on you and you are going to die.
Yeah.
I think there is that part of Anakin. The story gets told really well. He has that connection with Tarkin coming up here in a season or soon, where he is that, like, no, the direct answer is the good answer of you are this great threat. You've killed people. You're causing pain. You need to be stopped.
Yeah.
You know, and you're on their home world. I'm not going to stop them from just unleashing.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
Yeah, that definitely seemed totally straightforward to me. Two other things for me. One we touched on. Here's that actual Grievous quote: "The DNA could unlock new possibilities for us." What do you have any headcanon or fun theories about what that is?
I why not have if they know it's Jango, do they want a more, I would say unaltered, but just a more violent, or maybe they don't need any difference. They just want their own clone army and train them and breed them and fire them up for war in a different way. I don't know. I could see that. Do they have the time? Do they have the facilities is the question. We know Palpatine's kind of interested in prolonging life and playing with how to make that happen. So it could be related to that too.
Yeah. 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 I love just not knowing what version of Sidious plan this might be, or is this more of a Dooku thing, or there's almost this is wild headcanon, has nothing to do with anything implied in the episode, but it was fun to imagine, like, is Dooku telling him, like, we might be able to grow you a new body, Grievous? Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, that'd be interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
An abomination, but interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Grievous. it's Grievous exactly as he is, but then he has a Jango head growing out of his shoulder.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Last thing for me is just, I know there's a great love of the ARC troopers. I've had great fun in Battlefront playing the ARC trooper. And it was just fun for me to refresh myself of what exactly does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
Advanced recon troops, and just the idea that they are trained for leadership and elite assignments. And I love that, they can kind of be stationed different places. They can be in leadership, or they can be special assignments, and that it really is just like they are the best of the best of the clones.
The best of the best. Yeah. I love that idea. I had to refresh myself too. Just you hear ARC troopers so much, you think it's just another cool video game designation, but it has some meaning and purpose, and I love them.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, the final thing for me is, it was fun to hear about the evolution of the armor starting in this episode. Starting to move them. This is from the Filoni behind the scenes thing on StarWars.com. This was the beginning of even hinting at moving their armor, some of the clones' armor, toward the Revenge of the Sith version.
Yeah, which is one of those little small details that I love that, no doubt Filoni's going to be clued in on it there. He mentioned that 501st a lot in that video. And I love how he said, sometimes I design things for them. And this is obviously back in like 2011, but that's kind of cool. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, some great stuff in the canon lore connections, and lots of opportunity for headcanon, clearly. Mm-hmm. Ken, was there anything that you disliked or questioned in this episode?
Not really. I was going to maybe mention the Ventress stuff if we didn't get to it here. And again, I don't want anybody, I am praising the Ventress stuff in here, but it also makes me just appreciate what comes later. And that's what happens when you let someone like Katie Lucas, a woman, come in and just kind of tell her own story in a way with the character of Ventress. So you touched upon the big theme of Ventress of I might be expected to be a certain way because of my name or upbringing, but I'm going to find my own way forward, even in the same arena. And so, I just love seeing that and where we go with Ventress from here.
Yeah, absolutely. In some ways, it even reminds me of Maul. Like in The Phantom Menace, he's just cool, and you can kind of guess at some stuff. But then, you know, in The Clone Wars, writers dive in and give him a lot of character, you know?
Yeah.
For me, this isn't like this is more like a fun amused, is that Grievous should know by now that the end of their duel is going to be Obi-Wan force pushing him, and then he's going to run away like a coward.
Yes.
Because he always has it like, look at how many lightsabers I have, and I'm going to spin at you, and I'm going to grab you with my foot, and I'm going to throw you around, and then, oh, you're going to force push me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's the thing that Grievous can't step to, and he never has been able to.
Yep.
And he never will be able to.
I love it. I don't mean to get into some kind of debate over the different versions of Grievous and Clone Wars, but the micro series has some great Grievous stuff, and it gets talked about a lot. It's like, oh, it's some of the best Grievous. I'm not here to debate that or disagree with that. I just love the consistency of this Grievous being all bark, and he's going to scurry away before he bites, and I love it.
Yep. Yeah. So this is a good classic Grievous Obi-Wan match. Is there anything that we have not talked about that you wanted to touch on?
No, not so much. I mean, a lot in this episode, you know, sometimes you think, oh, we got one Clone Wars episode to review. That'll be a quick Sunday afternoon. It's like, no, there's a lot there. And I had to do a lot of, I loved rewatching this one a few times because it's just, again, like you said up top, a big, bold, vibrant sample platter of what the Clone Wars series gives you.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Last thing that I wanted to just shout out, because I don't think we talked about it the last time it happened, is I like that Daniel Logan is doing the Clone Cadet voices.
Oh, yeah, good point. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you know, it's funny, too. It confused me for a second in that timeline confusion. I was like, wait, was this before? Is this before he infiltrates?
Oh, nope. Right, right.
Yeah, yeah, nope. No. Nope. It's not Boba. Not Boba.
Not Boba, not Boba, just some clone cadets. Yep. All right, Ken, if you could have an action figure or some other fun merch from this episode, what do you want?
We got two. All right. I want to go to Galaxy's Edge and get Grievous's robe. Because this episode, his robe looked, especially up top, looked a little more even regal. It just had some like a gold flair to it that I hadn't picked up on before. It looks big. And you know, you can hold things in it. It's very, you know, you got pockets for, yeah, weapons or, you know, money, whatever, walking around money. I love that. So I want Grievous's robe, priced to go at $400 at Galaxy's Edge. And then the second thing, we need some figures, but not figures, like we need, not to scale, that'd be a bit much, though that 12-foot skeleton that was being sold at Halloween was made quite the stir. I want aqua droids, but for pools.
Oh, you want like floating ones that you can like rest on and put your drink in their armored hand?
Oh, that's not a bad idea too. No, I'm talking like little figures that can submerge and just, so if you have a pool party, people are like, are there droids down there? Oh, those are my aqua droids.
Release the aqua droids in my pool party. Mm-hmm. Yes, I think that's great. And I love a cloak with pockets. Everybody needs a Grievous cloak with pockets. For me, I'm going to go with it straight up. I do not believe there's a Clone 99 episode. When I Googled it, the first thing I saw was a custom figure. So Clone 99 deserves the honor. It is one of the most emotional beats of the Clone Wars, of his pride in that he gets to do what he was meant to do and prove himself a soldier, a fighter.
Yeah.
So I would love to commemorate that with a cool Clone 99 action figure. And then, you know, I'm on this endless Obi-Wan kick. I love the image of him on the Awa. So I was thinking at first, like, okay, I would like that, you know, action figure set. Good 3 3/4 Anakin with a wide legs so he can sit on the Iwa's neck.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then I was like, you know what? That'd also be like a great little display for babies to put above the crib. Just a bunch of Obi-Wans floating around. On the sea creatures to fall asleep.
I'm not planning on having kids, but it's worth it maybe just for that.
Well, if anybody's on the fence out there about having kids, I'm sure that pushed you one way or the other.
Yeah.
All right. So next up is season 3, episode 4, Sphere of Influence. This is a fun episode that I don't remember a ton about. Kind of know, oh, it's that one, but I don't remember a ton of the details, so I'm really looking forward to digging into that one.
Cue House Papanoidia, right? Yeah.
Yep.
Here we go.
Yep. Thank the maker. It's the blue maker on screen. Going to have a ton of fun with that one. Ken, what should the moral of this episode of the podcast be?
You know, it's one thing to debate Star Wars in the public, but it's something special to talk about Star Wars on your home podcast.
And we will defend this home podcast yes. from all those aqua droids in your pool, no matter what.
You better have a big Yeti microphone if you're coming to our podcast.
Just totally obscure your face with how huge the microphone is. That's what we need. Ken, do you want to let us know? Because I don't know. Do you want to let the listeners know where they can find us?
I absolutely do. You can find us on Twitter at Force Center Pod. We're on Instagram, YouTube as well. Facebook page is Force Center Podcast. You can get an audio book on us by going to audibletrial.com/Force Center. And don't forget to get merch at tpublic.com/user/Force Center. And you can support us directly. Help support the show. Make our dreams come true over at patreon.com/Force Center. Because of your support over there over the years, we've done cool things like trading cards you can get at the top level, or been able to hire Tony Thaxton to write, compose original music for a podcast. And that's what we can do because of all of you at patreon.com/Force Center. Podcasts available a lot of different spots, we always like to say, but Amazon Music and Spotify, two of the key spots to try if you haven't listened there before. For me, you can follow me at Ken Napzok or go to KenNapzok.com. Also check out the GPA.fun, where we're building an empire of fun over there. But, you know, a good empire, if you will. Joseph, where can they follow you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Joseph Scrimshaw, and you can check out my website for all my other adventures. I got some comedy albums, my other podcast, Obsessed. You can check out the weird fantasy comedy show I write for, Tigtone. There's links to that on the Adult Swim website or on HBO Max if you have that. That's all on my website at josephscrimshaw.com. But for now, for myself, for Ken, for Clone 99, this has been the Clone Wars Report.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us.
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.